Hello, this is Chris, and you're listening to the Global City Mission Podcast. Today, I am joined by my co-host, Joey Dermeyer, Mobilization Catalyst in Atlanta. And we are going to kind of, you know, have a little bit of a discussion, a little bit of a debrief, the episode that we kind of re-aired last week from season one, and just kind of dive into how that looks in our lives, in our ministries. And so, Joey, welcome. Glad you're with
me.
Thank
you. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, at GCMI, we get asked a lot, like probably one of the you know, big questions we get asked is like, well, how do we do this? Like, how do we begin to sort of see our communities in a different way, and how do we reach them? And obviously we have these different trainings that we offer and different resources. And one of the great resources we have is, thanks to Seth and his season one, we have these podcasts. So we wanted to share that podcast again, because it was just really timely. I think for you, you were doing a training somewhere. I was in a conversation with a young lady about our team. And it seemed like the recurring theme was like, well, I have all these different tools or these different practices, but how do I actually put them into practice? So, right. So we wanted to air that podcast last week, because Seth does a great job of really exploring kind of practically, how do we begin to engage people? How do we actually begin to live incarnationally? That's what he talked about. Living incarnationally, the Great Commission, and to be on mission with God and do things the way God wants us to. And so he kind of helped us. I think he had these four questions that I thought were great. And, you know, how do we know where to go? That's one of the big questions. So how do we know where to go? How do we know who to talk to? How do we know how to talk? And then how do we know what to say? And so those were sort of the four questions he dived into. And so today, just sort of for a few minutes, Chris and I are going to talk a little bit about how we've answered those questions sort of in our own area and what that might look like, practically speaking, for us and our perspective. So,
yeah.
So how do we know where to go? That's the first question he asked.
I don't know about you, but I know even in early in ministry, you know, not in this GCMI context, not thinking the way we're thinking now. You know, I was, you know, in my 20s, it was a part-time ministry. I'm in a new city, you know, that I'm driving to on the weekends. And, you know, somebody, you know, smarter than me recommended I go buy a map. And, you know, back in the paper days of maps, right? There were no smartphones, right?
Yeah.
Paper days of maps, just buy a map and start marking off sections of the map and just driving around. Mm-hmm. And of course, the even better piece of that, and this wasn't on purpose initially. I mean, today I actually do this on purpose sometimes, but like I would lose track of the map because it's a paper map, not, you know, a GPS telling me where to turn. And I would look up and like, oh man, where am I? I don't even know where I am. And I just recently, a buddy of mine and I were driving through Daytona, which is where that first part-time ministry was. And I like, oh my gosh, I know exactly where I am. Like I once got lost here. Like, you know, this is like and it's a really like weird part of Daytona. Like you would never go there on purpose, but I did, because I literally just got lost in my city and drove around and like, you know, I wasn't looking for these like cross-cultural, you know, ethnic cues. I was more looking for just what's around, like where if I were here longer term, where would I go to, you know, do this kind of shopping or find these kinds of things. But I think that this is very applicable as I travel and even as I wander around Orlando. Like sometimes it's, man, turn the GPS off, quit looking for what you're looking for, and just drive down some of the main drags and get lost and see who does God have in this area around me.
Yeah. It's like almost like this idea of getting lost on purpose. And I think that's especially true. Even if you're in a city, like I'm in a town that now where I currently live, where we're actually at, like I would say that for the most part, I know it pretty well. I can get around. But there's still elements of streets that I'm like, I've never been down that street before, or areas that I haven't been down in a while. And I want to get kind of, I need to go down that way and see what's new. And I think oftentimes when we get into cities or we get into places that we feel like we know or we're familiar, maybe we've been there for years, that idea of getting lost on purpose, like going intentionally to places where I've never been before, or I haven't been in years. I'm going to turn down this street that I have no reason to go over there.
Right.
Except for the fact that I just want to see what's going on over there. I just want to know what's happening over there.
We joke sometimes, right? Like, you know, in discipleship circles and church planting circles, we joke that like the garage door opener is like the death of knowing your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think the GPS sometimes is the death of knowing our cities. It's like, we know exactly where we're going. We drive from door to door, we get out, we do our thing, and we jump back in our car and don't look around and don't get lost and don't like have that accidental find of, you know, the little hole in the wall place on the other side of town, 'cause I'm just starving. Just need to eat something.
Yeah. On the podcast, you know, Seth talked about, you know, the idea of pulling up, you know, Google and map, and that's definitely a way to go. Like that's definitely a place you can go there and you can kind of, you know, look up, different kind of restaurants, different kind of places where people go, look at different markets. And that's definitely a good approach. And so highly recommend it. I think what we're talking about is sort of another version of that approach, which is a little more sort of organically going, you know what, I'm going to go intentionally to other places that and drive other parts of my city, turning off that GPS and allowing my, and you know, honestly, my wife hates it because I like to drive in silence. I don't listen to a lot of music. I don't, mainly because I find it distracting. But because I like to sort of live in my own little head and think as I drive, but I have to be mindful of that as well, of turning even that off, of these little distractions, right? What are these distractions that could be keeping me from paying attention to the spirit as I'm driving around, you know, and seeing neighborhoods or seeing where people are. Just yesterday I had an appointment or in the morning, but I had a few minutes between after I dropped my daughter off in my appointment that I just parked somewhere in my little town and I just walked. You know, I just did a little walk around. Like I just needed a few minutes to sort of walk in the brisk air, cool air. But I walked intentionally in a part of town I'd never walked around before, just because I wanted to see what it was like, you know?
Yeah. It's funny when I had a short period of my life when I was in outside sales. And so you'd have an appointment set up and our sales manager would always tell us like, look at the business to the left and the right of where your appointment is. And like, is this somewhere that you should stop by and poke your head in the door and introduce yourself? And, you know, but we don't do that in our normal lives. We don't do that in our everyday lives. And, you know, so even when we're using the GPS, I do love Seth's approach with the maps and like, you know, whether you're using Google Maps or I use Yelp a lot. Like I just, you know, especially when you're looking at a business or a restaurant, like, you know, how do I find, you know, a Mediterranean restaurant or a halal restaurant? You know, I've got a lunch appointment or, you know, maybe it's the other side of town and I'm not super familiar with it. Like, how do I be intentional in picking a good halal restaurant to kind of, you know, introduce myself to that neighborhood, but also often introduce the guy that I'm meeting with? Like, they're probably not looking around their community this way either. But I think they kind of go hand in hand, and it's a little chicken and egg and a little circular of like, as I go to that part of town, am I now looking around and going, well, gosh, this side of town actually has like an incredible Mexican population. So now let me hop on the Google Maps, on the Yelp. And so that way the next time I'm over here or, you know, to maybe help that guy understand his part of the city better, like, is it a blip? Like there's just like three Mexican restaurants near each other, or is there something happening here? And so, so we're using the map to find stuff, but then we're using our eyes to find more stuff. And then using the maps again to like reinforce that. And like, just as we go, how are we noticing, you know, what is even here? What is even around us?
Yeah. And I, you know, taking this to a little different level, because obviously we're talking a lot, you know, we engage cross-culturally. That's the nature of our ministry. But we're also doing trainings inside of churches where we'd love to see those churches engage cross-culturally. But for a lot of those people too, at the same time, they're thinking, I just need to have a better job of communicating with my neighbor, or talking with the people in my life. And so, you know, don't, you know, when we start talking about where do I need to go, or even how do I know who to talk to, you know, some of that is think about your hobbies. Think about, you know, I mean, what hobbies do you have? Or think about your sort of life. You know, you may be a soccer. You may be a guy who's like, my kids are playing soccer, or my kids are playing volleyball. My daughter's about to start playing basketball. So, you know, when we start playing basketball, one, we intentionally play basketball at a particular place because we want to know where be with people.
Yeah.
You know? So one, it's that intentionality, especially if someone, you know, you and I both know this from a pastoral perspective, that we have to intentionally get ourselves out of church circles. So intentionally, like, okay, my kids are playing in this league, or we're going to go join this league because I want to be able to have conversations with people. So where do I go? I need to find the league that's not necessarily the church league.
Yeah. Right?
Or the league where, or whatever, you know. So you're finding those little things. Where's my schedule? Like, what's my hobbies? I always think about habits too. Like, I have a habit, you know, I love, you know, going to certain places, I just live my life I get in routine. So I have the same grocery store that I go to, or the same whatever. And I start looking at my habits and I go, okay, well, I always want coffee. Well, what if I changed where I go and get my coffee to somewhere else so that I can be more intentional about engaging? Or think about I'm in a blessed state where I can kind of make up my own schedule. So I can buffer my life where I can say, you know what, I'm going to spend an extra hour here, sitting longer because I want to see who comes in. I want to look at the businesses. You know, for a while I was going to the same coffee shop every morning, and I did it because I wanted to, and I started to notice, oh, these people come in here the same time every day. And I watch them and they go, oh, they must work at this place right here. Oh, and these people would come in a few minutes after them. I started to get it timed where I could be like, oh, it's so-and-so is coming in right now.
Yeah.
Because people are habitual and they're habit forming. And so looking at your own habits, but also thinking about the habits of other people, like these are great places to start thinking about where can I go? And then as I get into those spaces, I start sort of listening and learning about things.
Yeah. I think from a mission training perspective, the where do I go question of like, how do I get out of my bubble and go somewhere else? Mm-hmm. Like that's super applicable if you're trying to reach, you know, Arabic speaking Muslims, or you're trying to reach Bengalis, or you're trying to reach, you know, Puerto Ricans, or whatever, like the people group you're trying to cross-culturally reach out to. But for a lot of our you know, audience, and definitely a lot of our audience in like the church training environment, it's not where do I go? It's how do I look up and notice that I'm already going to some of these places? Like you're gonna go play basketball with your daughter regardless.
Right.
And so
I'm gonna be there anyways.
You know, and we were talking, I was at a training this weekend, and you know, one of the guys who was at the training was also at the church that I was at on Sunday. So I got to sit with him in training on Saturday and have a little bit of conversation afterwards, and then got to have some follow-up conversation on Sunday. And we literally had that conversation about the coffee shop of like, if you're being intentional in bumping into these people, instead of them just being like a familiar face, you're already going to this coffee shop, you know, maybe four days a week, 5 days a week, whatever your rhythm is, you know, maybe 14 or 15 times a week because you're that guy. But there's a, you know, maybe half the crowd is the same crowd and you're bumping into them. You know, in other cities, maybe it's your train ride or your bus ride. You know, you're bumping into the same people the same time of day. Like you're already going. And so, you know, that next question, you know, how do I know? Well, really the next two, how do I know who to talk to, and how do I know how to talk? Like, those next questions. Like, you're already going to those places. So who do you talk to and how do you talk once you're there?
Yeah. You know, I think learning. Well, first off, to get this, what we used to call the Sunday school answer out of the way, right? but the, you know, obviously, you know, we want to prayerfully be in tune with the Spirit. Okay, God, what, where, you know, show me who to talk to, like give me some kind of, you know, I don't know, sign or what am I looking for? Sort of thing. So we want to be in tune with the Spirit. And that's, again, always walking in that prayerful sort of recognition of this is an opportunity for me to embody the Great Commission, like every moment, right? So prayerfully being in that moment of, even if I'm sitting on the train going to work, I'm going to run into the same people. You know, I always tell people, first off, who do we know to talk to? I think one of the most underrated things, I know when I've talked to Christians about this, most underrated things is just being pleasant. Like, just be a nice person. Like, I try to smile at every single person.
Especially if you are that guy who's like, you're on your way to work and like, man, I just got to get my coffee and get going.
Right. I mean,
you still don't have to be a jerk. Like, I know you haven't had your coffee yet, but that doesn't mean you should be a jerk.
I mean, honestly, I tell people all the time, you'd be amazed how many conversations get started just with a smile. Just being pleasant and hey, morning, how are you? Yeah, you know, those simple little pleasantries can turn into deeper conversations if we're willing to sort of get out of our own bubble, right?
Yeah.
And be pleasant, be nice, be gracious, be kind. I entered into so many conversations off of a smile. Just, hey, how you doing? You know?
Yeah.
How's your day going? Especially if you're, you know, I oftentimes too, like if I see a barista, is like, I clearly see that she's having a crappy day and everybody else has probably just been dumping on her all day. That's when I really want to be like, it's been a rough day today, huh? I can see already it's been a rough morning, huh? You know, so I think, you know, like as simple or, you know, that's not super missional. I realize Seth has some really great tips on that. I think.
Yeah.
From his perspective.
Yeah, by the way, we should plug right now. If you didn't listen to the last podcast, you should probably have hit pause already and gone back and listened to that.
Definitely.
Because we're not going to repeat everything Seth said. Seth in a very concise, what did that episode end up being? Like 15, 20 minutes total?
Yeah.
Like in a very concise way, covered a lot of ground. Go back and listen to that.
Absolutely.
Press pause, come back and talk to us. But
I mean, he definitely approached it from a much more missional perspective of learning, you know, getting insiders, finding that insider who may know who can sort of be that gateway person to explain to you but again, it's that same idea of being pleasant and nice. And when you're in a restaurant, hey, tell me about this statue that I see right here.
Yeah. Or,
tell me about this picture I see. When I was in DC, we went to an Afghan place. Because where I'm from, there's not a lot of, in Atlanta, we have like one Afghani restaurant. we don't have a huge population. So my question to him was just, hey, how many, where I'm from Atlanta. We don't have a lot of Afghanis. So I'm very excited to have, I only get it so often. So I was like, I'm excited to have some Afghani food. And he was like, oh yeah, and I said, what do you recommend? You know? And so we started this conversation about what he recommends. So is there a lot? I mean, I just said, is there a big Afghani population here? Cause we don't, in Atlanta, don't have them a lot. And he was like, oh yeah, we have quite a few and blah, blah, blah. And so being that sort of inquisitive, sort of pleasant nature allows you to sort of find people who can sort of give you that inside information about what's happening.
Yeah. And find the balance, right? Like, don't be culturally insensitive in the midst of that conversation.
Right,
like, ask things that, like, if you don't fit in, what would you want people to ask you? Like, I mean, especially if you're, you know, dominant culture kind of people, which we are, like a lot of times I feel like you know, I have questions pop in my head, and they're honest, inquisitive, genuine questions. But I always ask them to myself once or twice, and like, man, how would that feel? Like, that one feels a little like I'm just digging into somebody's, you know, personal private stuff. But often that is a great way to start a conversation. I was in a cab with a Cuban immigrant in Kansas City, Missouri, like
randomly. Yeah.
Random. I mean, like, it turned out it was even more random that was my question. Are there a lot of Cubans that live here in Kansas City? And her answer was no. She's like, yeah, no, there's just, okay, so then why are you here?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, and not that we all move because we're moving to places where people are like us, but often, you know, immigrants are moving to places where they can feel more comfortable. And so like, what was the thing that drew you to Kansas City? What was the thing? I know we say a lot of times in some of our trainings is, you know, the what do we talk about? A lot of times that's just reminding ourselves and learning how to talk normal, like normal
right. people.
You know, if we're, you know, we're sitting with people who are like us, we don't have a problem having a conversation about, you know, sports and fishing and weather and, you know, and all those things. Yeah. And why would we think that other people wouldn't want to have those same conversations?
Yeah.
You know, if you're at, you know, the kind of restaurant that has TVs going and the basketball game's on, the football game's on, you know, your table's having conversations about football. The table next to you is probably having conversations about football as well.
Yeah.
Because that's the place they chose to go have dinner. They didn't come here because they wanted to, you know, have some other conversation, or maybe they would rather watch soccer, or they would rather watch, you know, cricket, or who knows. But like, but even that becomes a conversation, and you're still just having a conversation about sports. Like, how do we learn to have normal human conversations?
Yeah,
you know.
That's the big thing. Is Jared jokes about, when we do the training with me, he's joked like, I'm just trying to get Christians to be normal again. Like, I mean, like, and it really does boil down to that. Like, we know how to have conversations. We do it all the time. And people, everyone has something that we can talk about. And so it's really just a matter of like learning to feel comfortable in sort of getting ourselves to have conversations with maybe people we don't know, and recognizing though that even though we don't know them, like you said, we may share some similar things.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I went to a place recently to watch the Atlanta United play, and there was just a lot of Latinos in there because that's, you know, obviously it's soccer. It's
soccer.
Right.
I mean, football, right? It's football.
Real football.
It's not soccer. It's football.
Real football.
Yeah.
Not football Americano. So we sat next to these people. I mean, it was crazy in there. Like, they're going nuts, right? And so I just leaned over and I said, is this, because I could tell this is where they come all the time. They're there all the time. This is clearly a group of people who know each other. You're right. You again, that's simple observation. That's just simply being observant. And I leaned over and I asked the lady next to me, I was like, is this normal? Like, is this how you guys bring this drum in here in this restaurant and you beat it? I mean, like, is this normal? She's like, oh yeah, this is every game. We're here every game. And like during the little halftime, they went out and all took a photo together. And I'm like, again, she's like, oh yeah, every time they play, we go out here and take a photo, you know? And so we just began to talk about soccer and football and this group. How did you guys know each other? I mean, like, because clearly we're the odd ones out. And they're like, oh yeah, we just met because we came here the same place. We all to watch soccer. Oh, okay. So this is something you guys do on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So those sort of inquisitive, she became the insider that's starting to tell me about this group.
Yeah.
And she's subtly letting me know how I can participate in this group, because clearly this is the only way to join this group is you show up and watch soccer, right?
Right.
And you root for the Atlanta United. So if I was to show up there on normal every week for Atlanta United game, and I was rooting for, I was in the group.
Right.
If I just physically was there, I got to be a part of the group. And so, you know, that's kind of, she was giving me the insight of how to join this group, how the dynamics work.
Right. But you could have had a different response, right? Like you could have gone, man, those people are crazy.
Right.
Like clearly they love soccer too much and just never gone back. And instead you chose to engage and have that conversation and go, you know, like, is this normal? Is it like, could I come back next week? Could I, you know, and now all of a sudden you're having this normal conversation with normal people that are just from a different culture into a different thing.
Right. So, you know, that's striking up those simple conversations of inquisitive. And you were talking earlier about being sensitive. Sometimes I will, if I'm too nervous about it, what I will say is like, I will go ahead and preface it. I'll be like, look, I want you to understand. I don't mean this. If it comes across the way, please understand. Yeah. I don't mean it this way, but, and then and usually people are like, oh, no, that's fine. But again, if you know, those are the simple, but again, that's simple pleasantry, right? And again, that's, I think, part of what Jesus teaches us to be kind and be gentle and to be gracious and to be loving with other people. And we're supposed to sprinkle our conversations, right, with the word and with salt. And so it's when we talk about having, especially when we're talking about engaging people, whether it's cross-culturally or even within our own culture, kindness, love, graciousness, sensitivity, compassion, all of these things should be a part of our conversation when we engage people. But then we also learn to make those spiritual statements and sprinkle them with salt. And one of the things we say all the time is Jesus is not a topic of conversation. He's the inspiration for every conversation that we have. So, so again, Jesus is just a part of who we are as a person, as a human being. And so, engaging it with one with grace and pleasantry and niceness, which is really funny to say as a Southerner, because supposedly we're supposed to be kind and pleasant people. We are not. But yeah, I mean, it's like, but that I'm telling you, that is like, I think that models the way Jesus would interact with people.
Yeah.
I also think that that's how we can, how do we talk to people? How do we know how to talk? It's again, it's those, as we engage in conversations, and we are listening to other people.
Yeah.
Right. Those are that's where the Spirit can come in and go, oh, here's a spiritual story. Here's a statement you can make, you know, here's a thing that you can share. You know, just yesterday I was sitting with my Puerto Rican buddy who cuts my hair. We're having spiritual conversations, and I had to go to I had a doctor's appointment. And so I was a little nervous about it. And, I told him, so, you know, we got on this conversation about, you know, just not letting the worries of life get to you. And I was like, man, that's awesome. He had a really great point about it. You know, realize that, you know, I think God's got all that stuff worked out. I'm like, absolutely, man. I think you're absolutely right. And I said, you know, something that I did earlier was I had a doctor's appointment. I was kind of nervous about it, but I went on a prayer walk. I just went on a prayer walk and was like, just kind of trusting God on that kind of stuff. And so we started having a conversation about prayer. But that's, you know, again, that's just listening to him and then playing off of what I heard him say. And so following up with my own experience. So,
Yeah, I think it's a good plug for another episode of the podcast, which is season 1, episode 2 on spiritual statements.
Yeah, absolutely.
One we plug a lot because that really is foundational. Mm-hmm. And so again, if you want to press pause, go listen to that, or if you want to cue that up and listen to it another day, it's not a very long episode. But I'd say that goes into the how do we know what to say. And you know, if we're speaking in love, if we're speaking in a non-judgmental way, you know, and then importantly, if Jesus really is true in our lives, if the Bible really is true in our lives, if we really believe those things, The what to say often works itself out, because if we believe that Jesus is true and we're talking about spiritual things regularly, and we're talking about them as normal people who are loving and non-judgmental and like, just, you know, like, I don't judge you for liking Atlanta teams, you know, right, even though you're wrong. And you know, not, right. No, I mean, but that's like the spiritual things should flow out of us. Mm-hmm. The how to be human and how to talk about them in a normal way, I think that's the part that takes practice. But the what to say is the things we would say to anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. If I bumped into you at church, we might talk about sports first. We might get to your doctor's appointment. We might talk about, you know, your mm-hmm. prayer walk. I might offer to pray for you, but we're at church, so that feels normal and natural. But mm-hmm. if it's normal and natural, then why isn't it normal and natural that you're talking to your barber about the same things? Why right. isn't it normal and natural that you're talking to the guy at the coffee shop about the same things? Mm-hmm. You know, and so the what to say often is still just be you, just be human, just be a spiritual person who talks about spiritual things.
Right. We have that selective sort of, sometimes I say filter, but I don't know if filter is the best way to say it, but like a selective sort of switch that we do depending on who we're talking to.
Yeah.
If we know we're talking to a Christian, we're willing to sort of, we would say the same thing, but we would say it with a bit of Christian flair, you know,
yeah. like
you and how are you? Oh man, God's been amazing.
Yeah.
Versus how are you? Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I've been good. Life is good. Right. And that difference has to do with the person I'm talking to. And it's a little bit of stop switching that off. It,
yeah.
Trust me, I do it like all the time, and I'm trying to be more mindful of it and not to flip that switch and just
be. Now, to be clear, if you want to be effective at talking normal to normal people, let's turn off the church language switch,
oh, yeah,
right? Like absolutely. The Sunday school right. language, like Jared jokes, not everybody speaks NIV, not everybody speaks King James Version.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
But we can still talk about spiritual things in normal everyday language.
Right.
And
absolutely.
And that's the part that maybe takes a little bit of practice, is how do we talk about prayer? How do we talk about the way God's been faithful in our lives? You know, how do we talk about the way we see God moving without like turning it into a Sunday school lesson? Mm-hmm.
But especially still, if you're a pastor listening to this.
Oh gosh. Yes. Yeah.
I have a hard time. That's a hard time switching that junk off.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It gets ingrained in us for years and yeah. years.
Yeah. No, for real, like the professional pastor, the guy who, you know, this is, he's really good at talking church at yeah. church. And he's really good. And when I say he, I mean us, like, you know, I mean, Joey yeah. and I were talking about this earlier. We are really good at talking church amongst church people.
Yeah.
And we're really good at being normal amongst non-church people. But it's hard to not flip into church mode when mm-hmm. we start talking about spiritual things.
Absolutely.
Because like we're taught to like be ready with a 3-point sermon on any topic at the drop of a hat. And so like. Yeah. Let me give it to you. Like, you know, here, pull out your Bible. Well, yeah. no, like,
yeah.
listen, I feel what you're feeling, you know, like God has been faithful in my life. Like I've had challenges and I've watched God walk me through them. Mm-hmm. Like just being able to say that and leave it at that and let them engage with, you know, with that conversation if they want to pursue that conversation, and let them not engage with it if they mm-hmm. don't. Yeah. And again, we talk a lot about that in that spiritual statements.
Yeah,
talk.
Definitely.
You know, whether it's in the training or whether it's, you know, the podcast that Seth recorded. The what to say, man, it really is just be a normal human who loves the people around them and mm-hmm. diving in with normal conversation and the things we would talk about with anybody else.
Yeah. And I would, the other thing too is like, I don't know about you, I've got buddies who are just, they will talk to a brick wall. You know what I'm saying? Like they just talk to anybody. And I like hanging out with them because I learn from them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like some of us have those people in our life who like, they will talk to anybody. They don't have a problem with it. And I would say to you, if you're one of those who are not like that, cause that's not my natural tendency, I like to spend time with those people because it, there's something about rubbing shoulders with people like that, that you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hang out with those people to learn from them. But I also think, you know, I mean, and I'm not like an extreme introvert by any stretch, but I'm with you. I'd rather not be the guy that's initiating every conversation. I like hanging out with guys like that because they help me get into conversations I wouldn't have gotten in otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they're the ones that start it and then you can hop in.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, so even my less spiritual, you know, quote unquote, right, my less spiritual friends who are more wired that way, mm-hmm. they give me opportunity to have spiritual conversations with people that I wouldn't have started a conversation with at all.
Yeah.
And so taking them to go watch a game, you know, at the, you know, at a local restaurant or local bar or whatever, like taking them with me gets me into the conversation. And they may not be a spiritual person or they may not be a particularly spiritual person, but they get the conversation started. And then I get to have the deeper conversation, which is great.
Yeah. Well, and not to take this because there's, I think you could take, we could take this on a whole nother tangent, but you and I were talking beforehand a little bit about this, but I mean, some of us have spouses that are just like, they just talk to people. Never underestimate what your kids can do. Cause your kid can get you into a conversation faster than you could.
Yeah.
Your dog, you know, we were talking about dogs before this, right? I mean, we have this little Chihuahua that is like a person magnet and everybody wants to talk to it. So, oh, we'll talk about your dog. You're like, oh, can I just walk this thing and go home? But they open conversations.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, who do we talk to? How do we know what to say? Oftentimes, it may not even be us that does that in a normal, especially when we're talking about that person who maybe your pastors pass this podcast on to you because they want you to help learn to just have conversations with everybody. You know, if you're that person, look, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your dog. I mean, these are oftentimes these little, they don't seem like much, but they can spark conversations because people see your dog and they're like, oh, can we pet? And you're like, oh yeah. Oh, that's, what kind of dog is that? Oh, it's yeah. Do you have something? And the next thing you know, you've already started this very organic conversation.
Right.
And we
talked about this towards the front, right? Like that coffee shop that you're going into a few times a week at the same time of day, like you walking your dog around the neighborhood is doing the same thing. Like mm-hmm. it's a lot of the same people that you're going to bump into week in, week out. And so it's not how do you have the important conversation on day one. It's how do you start a relationship? Like, and it doesn't feel like a relationship. It's just a guy that you bump into when you're walking your dog. It's just a guy you bump into when you're getting your coffee, you know, every week or every day. But like, how do you start a relationship and how do you talk in a way that gives you opportunity? Mm-hmm. You know, and that was that whole, you know, relational inroad kind of piece of the conversation. Like, where are the places where you can begin to form relationships mm-hmm. that are not your church relationships? Like, you know, going to church another night of the week isn't going to give you an opportunity to talk to non-Christians, to give you an opportunity to talk to people mm-hmm. who are far from God. But going to the coffee shop an extra day this week might. I mean, it might just get you another good cup of coffee, but it might give you an opportunity to begin a relationship mm-hmm. that, yes, is a casual, you're bumping into them at the coffee shop. But if we're intentional about it, instead of just the grumpy guy walking in to get his coffee or, you know, man, I just want to walk the dog and get back to the couch.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, I do. I just want to walk the dog and get back to the couch. But man, I keep seeing this woman every time I walk around the block. Mm-hmm. Like maybe if I was just pleasant instead of, you know, grumpy and cold and shivering and like, you know, or, you know, in summertime hot and sweaty and like ready for the AC, but either way, like how do I just like begin to have conversation so that maybe someday I can have that spiritual conversation, you know? And
yeah, to me that this speaks to a larger idea and I don't remember if Seth actually says this on the podcast, but I remember when I was listening to it, it made me think this. So it's a bigger picture of what I would call the discipline of presence. Mm-hmm. Like that's that thing we're talking about. Walking, if you're walking around your neighborhood on a regular basis, if you're going into the same place, if you're being there, one, it's about being present. I'm a person who's present. Like, this is the place I go. That sort of like, this is, and being sort of like, and practicing that, like, I'm going to come to this place. I'm going to do this on a regular basis. I'm going to practice that, just being present in this place so that I can become a regular, or I can be seen. Or because the other thing too is, I mean, if you're walking your dog, everyone's going to be like, oh, that's the dude that walks his dog every Tuesday, or, you know, at 10 or whatever. Yeah. So you're practicing that sort of being present instead of like going, you know, Jesus says, don't go house to house. He says, find, when you find one, stay. That's a bit of that practicing, that staying, that presence. When you start to see it, going to that same coffee shop. Some of that's, again, we have these little habits. We do them already. It's a matter of recognizing that these habitual places that we go, or habitual things that we do, is actually, we can practice this sort of being, this is our presence, and being present in a place and sort of hunkering down a little bit, as well as practicing being present in the conversation, being present instead of just sort of in our own little world. But yeah, having that sort of presence at a place where, where you start to become a regular, or people start to recognize you're there too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I'm going through the cohort right now. I know you've gone through it, you know, probably about a year ago, that week two, where we're talking about relational inroads, which very much is what this is. And, you know, and again, Seth is talking cultural inroads, because global city, like, that's our main thing, is this cross-cultural reality, but also those relational inroads of just that presence. And I realized as I'm going through that, like, my current rhythm, you know, in my current role, like, I'm literally bouncing all over Orlando. Like, I go get a coffee semi-regularly at a different Starbucks every time, because like, I have a meeting out on the east side of town. I got a meeting up on the north side of town. I'm heading down to Kissimmee for something. And I realized, like, I need to figure out how to build that kind of, you know, like, almost forced rhythm for those opportunities, because you know,
every time I go to Kissimmee, I'm at least going to the same one.
Yeah. And I have a little of that. Like, there's a couple of restaurants around town that, when I'm in that part of town, this is where I'm having lunch. If I've got a meeting in that part of town, this is my first suggestion.
Yeah.
Like, we should meet here, because this is good food, and it is relational opportunity. But if it's once a month, or, you know, every other month, like, that's not effective for what we're talking about. It doesn't mean that God can't work through it, and that God won't work through it, but it's not effective for what we're talking about. And so how do I create rhythm, even if it's just one day a week, that I'm going to this coffee house, or I'm going to this place for lunch regularly, to have that regular presence, that regular opportunity to build relationship.
Yeah.
So anything else we want to hit in particular as we wrap up today?
No, I think hopefully we have helped at least debrief a little bit on last week's episode. And if you, again, like Chris said, if you haven't listened to it, definitely need to go back and listen to it. It's he does a great job. In fact, you know, go listen to season one, period, because a lot of season one is sort of foundational for where we've been the last couple of last season and this season now.
Yeah, especially that first 12 to 14
first few.
I don't remember, but like, I mean, we literally tell interns, we literally tell new mission catalysts, like, just start there, because it really is a great place. If you're looking around your city and going, gosh, I know there are people here who aren't like me, who are far from Jesus, like, this is the foundation of how to get from A to B. Like, how do I be more effective at reaching out?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you haven't listened to them, or if you're in a conversation with people and you're like, you want to help them, we recommend really looking at those few episodes. So, but yeah, we've tried to debrief today a little bit. Hopefully we've done that, at least debrief from our perspectives and the way that we try to answer those questions in our context.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that's been beneficial.
Yeah. So thank you guys for joining us. Make sure you're subscribed if you haven't already. like we said, check out those first few episodes of season one. If you're looking for those links, if you're looking for subscribe links or whatever your favorite podcast app is, globalcitymission.org/podcast will get you there. And thanks for listening. Joey, thanks for joining me again this week. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yep. Bye.